the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
From today's epistle reading, the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy, chapter 1, verse 17. To the King of ages, the immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen. Glory. A friend of mine told me that when he heard the word glory in church, it made him giggle. You see, he had an aunt's glory, and when he was a child, he thought all the scriptural references were about her. At her funeral, he discovered she was named Glory because she was the first girl born after seven boys. And when the midwife said it's a girl, the response was, glory me. And so she was named. The Hebrew word for glory in the Old Testament is kabod, not to be confused with Greek or Turkish sandwiches. K-A-B-O-D. It means in Hebrew heaviness or weight or gravity, which may seem strange. The famous scientist Isaac Newton was a keen studier of the Old Testament in Hebrew and Greek, and was fascinated by the story of Moses and the glory of God, which we find in Exodus. Realizing through his knowledge of the language that the word kabod meant gravity, he thought that Moses had already discovered the law of gravity. Gravity in the word glory, of course, was a meaning for an eminent man who had heavy responsibilities or heavy possessions, like lots of bags of money. And so we can see that in the Old Testament understanding, heaviness became an attribute of giving glory. Someone was heavy in the way of responsibility or great treasure. And yet it is a bit of a puzzle because, of course, God dwells in unapproachable light, and He is light. But He has heavy responsibilities indeed. And today's first reading from Exodus 32 gives us a bit of a hint about these heavy responsibilities that God has. God had given His chosen people everything. He rescued them from slavery in Egypt and brought them through the wilderness these 40 years. And now in the midst of their wandering, on Mount Sinai, God talks to their leader, Moses. Aha, but while the cats play, the mice do play. And the people became impatient, as the scripture says, and wanted more local gods. Gods they could see and touch, so they made a golden calf and worshipped it. And both Moses and God were not amused. What, therefore, was God's heavy responsibility in this situation? To punish them? To make them see the error of their ways? This certainly would be the human way to go. And so it seems at the beginning of today's first reading. But then it says, but Moses besought the Lord his God. Indeed, Moses did, and he bargained with God, as we occasionally do also. And God relented. And by a touch of irony, it was Moses who was the one who got angry and wanted to punish the people. So he smashed the Ten Commandments and the golden calf, ground it into pieces, and made them all drink of the ground gold in the water. Moses felt he'd done a good job, of course, and returned to Mount Sinai, very pleased with himself, and he wanted something from God in return. Faithful servant does his job, wants a reward, and this is recorded in the next chapter, Exodus chapter 33, where it says this. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I'll proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. But you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I will remove my hand, and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. So God tells Moses that he cannot see his glory. It is unbearable. All he saw was God passing by, a flash of light. But that, said God, is enough. And it already had always been enough. Light was already enough for the Israelites to see God's glory. Through those years in the wilderness, the shining cloud and the pillar of fire led them, displaying God's presence to his people, his glory, as they wandered in that desert. The glory of God is full of light, and he dwells in unapproachable light. So Paul says that Christ is the shining radiance of God's glory. So we cannot divorce the word glory from the word light. And when we want to visualize Christ's glory in the resurrection on Holy Saturday, the night before Easter Day, we do it with a large paschal candle lit from the fire, which lights up the whole church and everyone in it. And the cry goes up, Christ our light, and we all respond, thanks be to God. Light and glory. At baptism, lighted candles are given as the first taste of glory for the new Christian. And from then on, from that moment, the glory of God is shown in our lives, not by how good we are to God, but how good God is to us. And today's gospel makes that quite clear. No matter how much we give the light of God's glory in our lives, God will not let us go. He will seek us out and bring us back. The parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin are the fulfillment of that conversation between Moses and God on Mount Sinai. And of course, like the people of Israel, we might forget the glory of God and go after local gods. Isn't that a trap our church falls into all the time? Always looking to the local rather than a far greater glory. Do you remember all that talk about 10 or 15 years ago about evangelism being our first duty to God? Our first duty, not worship or prayer, but evangelism. And of course, passing on the good news is part of being a Christian. But what happened was that the church treated God as a product, treated itself as a product to be sold. And treating the church as a product to be sold seems far removed from glory, as indeed did all those public relations campaigns and programs that went with what was called the decade of evangelism. St. Paul, by contrast, definitely passed on the good news and was the greatest evangelist ever known. But he was not concerned about programs or committees or advertising campaigns. Just as we see in today's epistle, a simple acknowledgement of what God had done for him, and as a result, to preach about God's love for us. So Paul went on to establish many churches that all lived the vocation that St. Paul taught them. They were all in communion with each other. They were devoted to the Eucharist, and they believed in the faith they had received. And in doing that, all those little churches revealed God's glory. And that, my brothers and sisters, is the way that we will reveal God's glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.